You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
The Pet Doctor is sponsored by Ellie Mae Pet Supplements. Visit us at battle-cancer.com for more information on how Ellie Mae Supplements can help your dog.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
There are several C words pet owners love. Some they fear, and others they just don't understand. Cats, canines, cuddling, kisses. Okay, my spell check isn't very good, but you get the idea. These are some of the C's pet owners can't get enough of. And then there are the C words we all fear, cancer. It can happen to any breed at any age. It could be an innocuous bump, or there may be no external indication that a malignant menace is lurking inside. It can destroy your pet's health until you're in a battle that may truly be life and death. The C words we don't understand are the ways that are available to care for, control, and sometimes cure these diseases. We've heard the phrase cutting-edge advances, but my guest, Dr. David Bomarito, is a veterinarian who wields a cyber knife, destroying cancers that previously were untouchable. We're going to be right back after this short break, and Dr. Bomarito will tell us all these things that he's doing that are just amazing. Stay tuned.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Did you know cancer is the number one cause of death in dogs? One out of every three dogs is affected by cancer at some point during his lifetime. And half of those dogs affected die. Shocking, isn't it? Symptoms of dog cancer are nonspecific and often lead to a late diagnosis of the disease. But before it reaches an advanced or incurable stage, cancer exhibits mild but recurring symptoms. If you think your dog is losing weight, has a loss of appetite, looking dull and listless, is non-social, or has any sores, swellings, bumps, or lumps, or abnormal growth anywhere, it's time to visit the vet to make sure everything's well. This message is brought to you by Ellie Mae Pet Supplements. Ellie Mae is an animal healthcare company that creates products which focus on improving the overall health and quality of life for your much-loved pet. Visit us at www.battle-cancer.com for more information on dog cancer and how Ellie Mae supplements can help your dog.
Buster, you're telling me my dog food products can't go on your shelves?
That's right. Didn't pass one of my Petco certified nutrition checklists. Sorry, Wayne.
Who made these checklists?
Geniuses. Very smart guys.
Well, it's good enough for most grocery stores.
Do you see cheese puffs on my shelves? Mayonnaise? Soda pop?
No.
That's because I ain't running no grocery store, Wayne. Your pets will get better nutrition, I guarantee it. Petco, where the healthy pets go.
Go to PetLifeRadio.com/Petco and get $6 off your order of $60 or more and up to 40% off hundreds of items at Petco. PetLifeRadio.com/Petco.
Welcome to Sassy Seniors, a show about our fabulous older dogs and cats. I'm your host, Kelly Jackson. You know, I wanted to create a show to really showcase our senior pets. And, you know, as the human population ages and lives longer, of course, so are our wonderful pets. But many of us with aging pets, it's so interesting. We have a tough time realizing or really admitting that they are seniors. So, in a way, I kind of like to think of our senior pets as wise puppies. What do you think about that? Be sure to join us for another edition of Sassy Seniors. And remember, celebrate your senior pets.
Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com. Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Dr. David, this is just marvelous. Things I had no idea. I recently had the opportunity to listen to you give a presentation to veterinarians, and it blew me away. This is great. Number one, how did you decide to become a specialist, a subset of veterinary oncologist, and now you're boarded in radiation oncology?
Well, it started in vet school when my original mentor, Dr. Michael Kent, introduced me to the idea that cancer is something that we didn't have to just throw our hands up and say, I give up with. He actually showed me that, you know, cancer is a very, very treatable condition and sometimes curable. So it got me turned on to the idea of trying to figure out ways of how we could fight cancer and hopefully beat it. So after vet school, I attended an internship at Cornell, which further geared me up to try to fight cancer. So then I decided to do two residency programs at the University of Missouri, one in medical oncology and one in radiation oncology.
I think it's fantastic that you're saying that, yes, cancer can be curable, because I know there are times I hate giving the diagnosis, oh, this is cancer. And immediately I can see it in people's eyes, their bodies. They just want to shut down. They don't want to hear that diagnosis. None of us ever do. It seems as though I'm saying that, oh, this is cancer more frequently. Is cancer becoming more frequent? Or are we just getting better at diagnosing it?
I think we're just getting better at diagnosing it, although there are some people out there that would say it's becoming more frequent from carcinogens in our environment. So it's not a question I can definitively answer, but, you know, around 1 in 4 dogs will get cancer within their lifetime, so it is a pretty frequent occurrence.
How about cats?
Cats are probably around the same. I don't have an exact statistic for cats, but I don't think we recognize it as quickly in cats because they're a lot better at hiding their illnesses than dogs are. But cancer is also pretty frequent in cats, too.
Speaking of hiding their signs, what are some of the signs that people can look for on the outside of their pet or thinking, of course, they can't see on the inside, but what are some of the signs that cancer may be there?
Cancer can come up as an asymptomatic lump or bump that's changing in appearance. Anytime you have hair loss or redness on a mass that you never noticed before, that's a potential indication of cancer. Other times it's a little bit more subtle, like the pet doesn't want to eat as much or they don't want to hang out with you as much. So it can be pretty tricky to detect cancer sometimes. And unfortunately, these signs are usually so subtle that cancer has been going on for quite a while before we really recognize its true existence.
I think that's one of the main reasons I really try to stress with clients is to bring their pet in at least on a year basis. Twice a year is the gold standard for just a good wellness exam, making sure that, you know, we chat back and forth. What's going on at home? What can I feel? What's different? Right now, I have a very good friend's dog that's in the hospital, just seemed off, came in, found that one of its liver enzymes was off the map, and today we just did an ultrasound and found there's cancer in its liver, and we're just starting that path of figuring out what it is and where to go. Are there particular breeds of dogs or cats or ages that are most frequently affected?
Well, definitely breed-wise in dogs, we can see a lot of cancers in golden retrievers, boxers, German shepherds. So a lot of your very common breeds will have cancer. Labrador retrievers are another one. Usually they're older, just like in humans. So older animals tend to get cancer more frequently. For kitty cats, we typically see Siamese as a pretty popular breed with cancer, but most often they're your domestic short hair or domestic long hair cats. Plenty of mixed breed animals will also get cancer, but when we think of certain genetic predispositions to different types of cancer, usually we are looking at particular breeds. Big breed dogs get osteosarcomas, boxers get mast cell tumors, things like that.
The other thing that I know people watching their body language when they just shut down and say, okay, yes, we have a cancer and there are things that we can do, and immediately say, nope, I saw my aunt go through chemotherapy or my dad had radiation therapy and it was terrible and they felt horrible, vomiting and hair loss. I know it can't be across the board, but typically, how do pets handle chemotherapy and radiation therapy as compared to their human counterparts? Is it really the same?
Not really. And our goals are a little bit different. Oftentimes in humans, they're going for an absolute cure, making them live 15, 20 years longer, which these goals are just usually not reasonable in our pet population. So I try to be a lot more conservative with the realization that the animal can't elect to go through this therapy. They don't realize why we're doing this to them. So we usually use less intense, less difficult to get through protocols. So although those are side effects you can see with chemotherapy and radiation therapy, the amount of side effects and the frequency of side effects that we see are drastically reduced when you're comparing it to human patients.
One of the things that client asked the other day, and I had to laugh going, good excuse. I have a feeling it's not for your pet. Okay, well, if we go through chemotherapy and it starts getting a little bit nauseous, can we use medical marijuana?
Wow.
So is that possible, Dr. Bomarito? Can we use medical marijuana for pets?
Not to my knowledge. I do not know the answer to that question. I'd prefer to use other forms of anti-nausea medications, but I have a feeling that the FDA would not be too happy with veterinarians prescribing medical marijuana.
I thought that was going to be your answer.
Yeah.
Well, on to a more serious discussion, and something that you're doing a lot of is radiation therapy. How do you determine if a tumor is one that you need to use more traditional chemotherapy versus radiation therapy?
So radiation therapy shares the qualities of both surgery and chemotherapy. Like surgery, radiation therapy is a form of local treatment where we're directly treating a cancer. So we directly point the radiation beam at the tumor and not really the rest of the body. So much like surgery, it's only attacking that diseased area and leaving everything else out of the picture. However, it's like chemotherapy in the sense that we attack both the rapidly dividing cells. Chemotherapy, however, does treat the whole body. So radiation is ideally used when we have a situation that there's a cancer that has not spread to the rest of the body, and that cancer cannot be removed entirely with surgery. This is actually a pretty frequent situation that we see in dog and cat cancers. Radiation therapy, however, still can result in side effects. Side effects that are typically seen are in rapidly dividing tissues like the skin or the gums. But these usually develop towards the end of treatment, but heal up a few weeks after treatment. We can see other side effects later on from radiation therapy, slowly dividing tissues like muscle, bone, and nerve. But what we end up doing to avoid these side effects is do the treatment over many small fractions or treatments. So instead of giving all the radiation in one big dose, we split up that dose into many tiny doses.
So it seems like splitting it up is easier on the tissue. Does it make it easier on the pet? Because they're just these little amounts? And how do you determine how you break it down? I think the term is called fractionation.
Correct. So when we're treating aggressively with curative intent radiation, we oftentimes will split the treatment up into 18 to 22 fractions or treatments. And it really depends on what the nearby tissues are. If there's a very sensitive structure nearby, like an eye or the brain, we tend to fractionate more to protect those structures. So yes, absolutely, fractionation will help the patient deal with the radiation side effects or completely prevent them from happening altogether. In terms of palliative radiation therapy, when we're not actually going for a cure, we typically only treat with 4 to 6 treatments, and that's because we're basically just trying to help out temporarily and not terribly concerned about side effects that are going to happen years down the road.
Maybe I should back up 20 steps. You're talking about using radiation to kill a cancer, and oftentimes, you know, we have a chest x-ray or we have dental x-rays, and they put the heavy lead gowns on other places of the body because radiation can cause cancer. So how can you use radiation to kill cancer?
So when we're doing radiation therapy to kill cancer, you're absolutely right. We're giving very, very high doses of radiation, and there's a pretty low incidence of new cancer formations from our radiation treatments. It's usually less than 5%. And if cancer does occur down the road, it's typically 5-6 years later on. When we're using radiation therapy for treatment purposes, we use a machine called a linear accelerator. It's also known as a LINAC, and that's where the high-energy x-rays come from. Like x-rays looking at broken bones, these x-rays that are coming out of the LINAC are painless. We use CAT scans to help us see the tumor and make a treatment plan. For dogs and cats, however, unlike humans, we have to do very light anesthesia, and so they don't move while we're treating them. The machine, the linear accelerator, can treat from a 360-degree circle around the patient, and then we'll use positioning tools like dental molds that have accurately reposition the patient from treatment to treatment. While we're treating, we'll take x-ray images of the patient to make sure that the positioning is appropriate and everything is spot on. And then once we have everything confirmed, we can go ahead and treat. The actual treatment beam's only on for around a minute or two, but the whole process usually takes around 30 to 45 minutes. But the one nice thing is since the anesthesia is so light, our patients usually wake up in around 10 minutes and the treatment's over for the day and they go home. Most people are really shocked at how little their pets have an issue with being anesthetized 5 times a week.
And that is something that I think a lot of people say, they come in, for instance, and I want to do a dentistry on a pet. Oh, it's old, Doc, and we just can't put it under anesthesia because it's old. But now you're talking about older pets, some of the most common ones for developing cancer.
Yeah.
And you're doing these treatments sometimes 5 times a week, putting them under anesthesia.
Yeah.
They're tolerating this okay.
Absolutely. It's something that we have very little problem with. And the reason being is unlike a dental or a surgical anesthesia, they don't really need anything for pain because we're not stimulating them. We're not doing anything that's painful to them. So the anesthesia is just very, very light. They just need not to move for a period of time, and then they wake up. So it's something that they recover from very quickly.
And saying that you're doing this 5 times a week in this fractionation, you know, 18 to 22 days worth of treatment, it sounds like it's a rather time-intensive commitment by an owner to say, or do they typically just leave the pet at the hospital, or do you have to bring it back each time this procedure is being done?
It is a huge time investment. Most of our clients will leave the pet just for the day, or they'll wait in the lobby, but they do not leave the pets overnight. That's something that can be worked out if need be, but we usually like to have these guys go home every day because I do think that there is mental stress and mental trauma for not being in your normal home environment for a vast majority of the day. And that's something we really have to take into consideration is how the dog or cat feels about all this, because we can put them through the radiation, but if they're so stressed out they're not going to eat anymore, that can be worse than the cancer sometimes.
Well, I'm talking right now with a veterinarian, Dr. David Bomarito, and he is a board-certified radiology oncologist and telling us about a little background on cancer. We're going to get into in a moment just a really, again, cutting-edge advancement. Not a lot of veterinarians can do this, but he's one. Stay tuned.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Every pet is unique. Maybe they're gray in the muzzle, yet young at heart. Maybe they're growing out of the puppy stage and into their paws and ears. Or maybe they're just trying to maintain a more girlish figure. At PetSmart, we have the right food for your pet at a great value for you. PetSmart. Be better together.
Go to PetLifeRadio.com/PetSmart and save up to 30% on toys, collars, leashes, PetSmart gift cards, treats, and more. Go to PetLifeRadio.com/PetSmart today.
Dyson.
The new Dyson Animal Vacs are powerful bagless upright vacuums for homes with pets. Air muscle and radio root cyclone technology generates the strongest suction power to powerfully remove dust, dirt, and pet hair from the home or car. To order your Dyson Animal Vac, go to PetLifeRadio.com/Dyson. PetLifeRadio.com/Dyson to order your Dyson Animal Vac today.
Dyson, music to your ears.
The Pet Doctor is sponsored by Ellie Mae Pet Supplements. Ellie Mae is an animal healthcare company that creates products which focus on improving the overall health and quality of life for your much-loved pet. Visit us at www.battle-cancer.com for more information on dog cancer and how Ellie Mae supplements can help your dog.
This year, Americans are expected to spend a jaw-dropping $36 billion on their pets. From lighted leashes to high-end spa products, the discriminating pet owner can find just about anything to pamper his or her pet. Hi, this is Michelle Fern. Join me every week for Best Bets for Pets, where we'll talk about the latest pet products and talk to the companies that make them. Best Bets for Pets, every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets on Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Dr. Bomarito, I know that you're working with a group, Veterinary Cancer Group, two offices in Southern California, and you're now offering stereotactic radiosurgery. What exactly is it, and how does it differ from conventional radiation therapy?
Sure. We actually have four offices, one in Fountain Valley, one in Culver City, one in San Diego, and one in Tustin. The two offices that are offering stereotactic radiosurgery is CyberKnife for the Culver City and the Tustin offices. So a CyberKnife is essentially a linear accelerator that has been miniaturized and mounted on a robotic arm. Patient lies on a robotic couch, and the couch and arm can basically be moved in synchrony so a patient gets into an accurate position. CyberKnife has a built-in X-ray imaging system that takes multiple X-rays, and this is referred to as image-guided radiation therapy. And since this machine, this LINAC, is on this arm that can go in any direction, you can approach this tumor from basically a sphere, an infinite sphere of directions. The difference between this and the standard linear accelerator is that it can only rotate in a 360-degree circle. So this only allows you to treat in a particular direction. But with multiple directions, we can really, really protect those normal tissue and give all that dose to the tumor. There are other forms of radiosurgery out there, but they do not have the benefit of the robotic arm and the robotic couch. And the CyberKnife really has that edge because of its versatility and how a patient can be approached. So that endless directions of beams being pointed at the tumor makes this the best form of radiosurgery out there by far.
This is Star Wars. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of human facilities that have this available. And here there's, you know, a veterinary group that's doing this. How many sites are there in the United States doing this type of CyberKnife therapy?
In the veterinary community, I only know of three or four, so not too many. There might be more out there that I don't know about. In the human world, this has become a pretty progressive form of treatment. Oftentimes, they're treating cancers that have failed standard radiation therapy or patients with inoperable tumors. So this is becoming a much, much bigger part of human therapy, and then we're just really starting to get into it in veterinary medicine.
What type of tumors are you treating with the CyberKnife versus, again, the more conventional radiation therapy?
Well, any type of tumor that can't be easily removed with surgery or that's too dangerous to remove with surgery can be treated with CyberKnife radiotherapy. However, the most common types of tumors that we're treating are brain tumors, spinal cord tumors, and nasal tumors. But, you know, there's really no reason we couldn't treat a tumor in the abdomen or a tumor in the chest, or a tumor on the skin that was just too big for surgery. There's really no tumor that you would do CyberKnife on or standard radiation on that you wouldn't do CyberKnife on. The really nice thing about the radio surgery is, you know, unlike surgery, there's no pain, no blood loss, no stitches to remove, no healing wounds, and no recovery time. After the procedure's done, they basically walk out the door with no observable differences from when they came in. And over the next few weeks to months, you'll see that tumor slowly die away. So it's very useful when tumors are near important organs, such as a lung tumor sitting on top of the heart. It's too dangerous to cut out surgically, and if you use standard radiation, you get too much dose to the heart, and that could be life-threatening. So you can use CyberKnife to essentially radiosurgically remove that tumor away from the heart.
So you're using a CyberKnife, you have this mass, you're killing it off. You say slowly it just somewhat deteriorates. What does the body do with that dead tissue? Because typically you think, you have a mass, you go in, you remove it, you close everything back up again, but now you have this sludge of dead tissue. How does the body get rid of it?
Well, oftentimes it's a very slow process. So sometimes the tumors don't shrink all the way into nothing. Sometimes they do. There's cells called macrophages that will go and clean up dead and dying material normally in our bodies. And because it's such a slow process, we usually don't see a really severe inflammatory response from this dying tissue. So the nice thing is it's a very slow, gradual response that the body simply just deals with over a period of time.
So what type of side effects? You're saying you don't have stitches, you don't have blood loss, you don't have pain. How do you know that it's actually working?
Well, we know that it's working because a lot of times they have a brain tumor and they're having seizures or things like that, and those issues go away after we start treating. In terms of side effects, we don't really see a whole lot of side effects to the skin, to the surrounding tissues, and that's because all the radiation is solely focused on the tumor and everything else is protected. For nasal tumors, for example, when we do standard radiation therapy on those guys, we do expect to see some pretty decent side effects to the skin and to the gums. However, with CyberKnife radiotherapy, you pretty much entirely avoid these side effects. With nasal tumors, they usually come in congested and can't breathe. And both with standard radiation therapy and CyberKnife, they're in a matter of weeks no longer having these issues. It's just with the CyberKnife therapy, you don't get the side effects in addition to having their noses clear up.
That's absolutely amazing. Is this still considered experimental, or is there been enough that you can say, yes, we're having X type of outcome when you have a brain tumor?
Sure. We do have quite a bit of data accumulating. CyberKnife has been used by the veterinary community for the last 5 to 6 years by Dr. Charney in Yonkers, New York. So she has put together quite a bit of data, but I still would say for a lot of tumor types, we're not exactly sure how patients will respond. So it is still somewhat experimental.
Well, I know that there are insurance people oftentimes say, okay, my insurance company is not going to cover this because it's considered experimental. And not enough people have pet insurance, so I'll put in my plug, get pet insurance. It may not cover this, but there's so many other things that it does cover. One of the downsides to this CyberKnife must be the cost. How expensive? Break it down into traditional therapy, say chemotherapy versus traditional radiation therapy, and then CyberKnife. What's the cost breakdown?
Well, in terms of traditional chemotherapy, it really depends on what kind of protocol you're running. You are looking at, with a full course of chemotherapy, looking at spending several thousand of dollars. With definitive radiation therapy, you're also looking at that same price range. And then unfortunately at the CyberKnife, because it's very expensive and it's such new equipment, you know, that's almost double of what traditional radiation therapy is.
So it's definitely a major investment.
Absolutely.
In your pet. What's an upside? You're saying, number one, that you can get to some tumors that you couldn't do before.
Correct. Yeah, some of the major upsides are that it's only done in 1 to 3 treatments. So if you compare that to traditional radiation therapy that takes 18 to 22 treatments, getting something done in 1 to 3 treatments, all your treatments are done within a time span of 2 weeks, it's a huge time saver for the clients to not have to drive back and forth to the facility as much. It's also less anesthesia, so although these guys do handle anesthesia well, 18 to 22 anesthesias is still a lot, so 1 to 3 sounds a lot nicer. The lack of side effects, too, is huge, so we're really going to, you know, harp on that point that we're not going to see nearly the same types of side effects that you could potentially see with standard radiation therapy. So there's a huge number of benefits with CyberKnife in terms of convenience, ease on the pet, as well as lack of side effects.
And you're saying that there you have your 18 to 22 treatments, and I know there aren't a lot of facilities. You told us at the top of this interview that there aren't a lot of facilities doing these types of treatments. So if you live in the middle of Nebraska and you want to have this done, yes, you know, you may need to make that trip instead of having to go back and forth and back and forth. And actually, maybe it kind of works out, breaks even in the long run.
Absolutely. Yeah, we could get all the treatments done in the matter of a week and instead of 4 weeks. So it could be a huge money saver in the end just in terms of time.
If someone were interested in CyberKnife, they've talked to their veterinarian, diagnosis has been made, yes, your pet has cancer, maybe seen an oncologist that's there in their area, how do they find now this person who does, like yourself, CyberKnife therapy?
Sure. So they can call us up at the Veterinary Cancer Group. Like I mentioned, we're doing this in the Tustin and Culver City offices. So whatever office
that's Southern California, right?
Yeah, Southern California, yep. So whatever office is closer to them or would be more available to them. I'm the radiation oncologist as well as a medical oncologist at the Tustin office. And then we have Dr. Jared Lyons, and he's a radiation oncologist in the Culver City, Los Angeles office. They can also visit our website, which is www.vetcancergroup.com, and get some information there. Prior to doing CyberKnife, we will consult with pet owners, make sure that all the appropriate diagnostics have been performed, make sure that we have all the imaging that we need, and then, you know, kind of gotten expectations to make sure we're all on the same page, and then we can proceed from there.
Wow, Dr. Bomarito, this, when I first heard your presentation, I was blown away, and I'm still so terribly impressed knowing that when I need to give or have to give that diagnosis of your pet has cancer, it's not a death sentence. I think it's so important when a client hears the word, your pet has cancer, not to shut down. If nothing else, have a consult with, whenever possible, a board-certified veterinary oncologist. Learn what your options are. There are so many things that you're doing, such as yourself, Dr. Bomarito, with having the CyberKnife. It really doesn't have to be a death sentence, does it?
No, it does not.
Well, thank you so much. I do appreciate you being with us today, enlightening myself and the listeners to what is available for cancer therapy. CyberKnife just sounds like it really has brought veterinary oncology to a whole new level. Please listen again next week. We'll have more information on how you can be the best pet owner possible. And if you hear the word cancer, please don't shut down. Ask more questions. Thanks for listening.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.